What's up, guys? Here with another premium recruiting podcast. The legend Brian Snow is on the line with me. We're going to jump right into some recruiting updates and get you caught up on the last month or so that's gone on since we last talked about things. And Brian, it feels like for a while now we've been saying, oh, these next weeks are going to be critical for Xavier. This is crunch time in the recruiting. But let's try to be as honest as we can with the people about where things stand at this point. And I think that is they've gotten through the most critical part, which was these official visits, these back-to-back huge recruiting weekends. They've got two more important weekends of visits, and then we're really into decision time for, you would think, most of their top recruits. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, I think they thought there was a chance a kid or two could commit this past weekend. Obviously, the first big weekend a couple weekends ago, it was pretty much a lock that they weren't getting anybody to commit. So it's kind of different when you know that going into the visits, but now it's getting down to crunch time, and when you still have five scholarships to give, not that they necessarily need to or want to give all of them, but when you have five more to give, you know, you start to count and look at dwindling numbers, and there starts to be a sense of urgency and maybe even a little bit of panic.
Well, the last two weekends were huge in terms of visits. They had some of their top guys on campus all together on the same weekends, and the first one was two weekends ago. And that was Isaiah Mucius, Noah Locke, and David McCormick. Well, let's start by updating where things stand with these three guys. And I think the funniest thing is, if you look at those three and the way the recruitments are trending at the moment from what we're hearing, you'd probably have to feel most positive about David McCormick's.
Yeah, it's real interesting. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. Chris Mack and Mike Pegues are at Oak Hill Academy right now meeting with McCormick. And, you know, they got some momentum there. Two visits in 3 weeks. He's down to six schools, but, you know, Duke doesn't seem to be in the mix. UCLA's on the wrong side of the country, and I don't see him going to Oklahoma State. So you're kind of narrowing it down to three. And then you never really know what Kansas is doing, so it could be Xavier and NC State. So it's really interesting, and Xavier's in there. Xavier's worked really hard recently, and they have a little bit of momentum, and I would say guarded optimism right now in terms of their chances, but I don't think that's a decision that's coming down this week or next week or anything like that. But, you know, Xavier's right there in the mix.
Now, on the flip side of that, it would have seemed like one of the other two guys were the easier recruits to land, and both of those seem to be trending, at least the most recent info we've heard, seem to be trending in the opposite direction other than Xavier. With Isaiah Mucius, it was kind of Xavier and Wake Forest. It seems like he really enjoyed the Wake Forest visit. I've heard, you know, that it seems like he just is a little closer to Danny Manning than he is maybe Chris Mack in terms of the head coach relationship. So I don't get a great feel for Isaiah Mucius picking Xavier, although it is down to just those two schools, it would seem.
Yeah, you know, with Mucius, I think it's going to go down to Wake Forest here pretty soon. Xavier had a good visit. They felt pretty good coming out of it, but I just think it's kind of been trending a little bit Wake Forest, and I think getting the final visit probably did the job. I would expect to see some news on that here in the next 48, 72 hours.
And then Noah Locke, obviously a guy Xavier's been hard after for a while. We had heard, you know, maybe Xavier and Michigan at the top there for him. And it seemed like, you know, while the visit went fine, and I think he's really into all the things Xavier does on the basketball court, saw the need for him, saw how he would fit in the offense, liked the role he would have played, and obviously there was a lot of room for playing time for him. It just seems like the campus fit may not be the best for him. I've heard from multiple people that he seems to want a bigger campus, a more live atmosphere, probably, you know, a football school, to be quite honest. And it just seems like things might be trending away from Xavier again on that one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had been hearing that, and then today I just got a note, and it was like, well, I think it's Michigan or Xavier. So it is what it is. I you know, Noah's not a kid who says a lot. If I had to guess right now, I'd probably guess Michigan. And then, you know, Florida's certainly in there as well. It'll be an intriguing situation. I think Xavier's still in the mix. It wouldn't surprise me if they're in to visit here sometime this week or early next week. I think he's pushed his Florida visit up to this weekend, and a decision will come shortly after that. Florida, Michigan, Xavier seem to be the three remaining. Ohio State's still involved a little bit. I don't really see Providence. I wouldn't bet on Xavier, but I guess crazier things have happened.
Well, and then after that weekend, this past weekend, they had three more of their top targets on in Sadiq Bey, Jackson Hayes, and Luther Muhammad. Brian, I think if you're looking at any of Xavier's main targets right now, you'd probably have to feel best about their chances to land Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, it seems like it's Xavier in Miami. Xavier had a really, really positive visit, and obviously there's a lot of familiarity with him being from the D.C. area, Najee Marshall on campus, and just the job Xavier's done recruiting him. So, and again, Sadiq's a kid who's made a couple visits since July, which is always a good sign. He's going to visit Miami. I believe Xavier will be in to visit Sadiq in home on Wednesday, try to do everything they can to, you know, put them in the best position to get a commitment. I think they feel pretty good about what they've done. Obviously, there's a ton of opportunity. So Sadiq Bey is someone they're really, really close with, and we'll see if they can close the deal or if, you know, Miami gets it done.
Yeah, and quite honestly, it seems like, you know, Xavier was battling with a few other schools in there, and they just started landing other targets on the wing and taking some of that opportunity away. And so it's really helped Xavier in that it's sort of eliminated some of those other schools that were in the mix, like Northwestern and a few others. So Jackson Hayes is probably the next guy that you would have to feel best about Xavier's chances, although the information has been very fluid recently with Jackson Hayes on what we're hearing. One person says one thing, another person says the exact opposite thing. So I think his family has really played this close to the vest, and it's tough to get a good feel for who's at the top, although we know the two schools there are Xavier and Texas.
Yeah, you know, Xavier's obviously had the official visit this weekend. Texas with Shaka Smart came in yesterday, I believe, on Sunday. Xavier's going to go in on Tuesday. And, you know, make no mistake about it, Xavier's going to try to get a commitment on Tuesday. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if that's even in the mix. I had one person who knows the family decently well say they think he wants to take all five visits. I had another person say he doesn't see them wanting to just hang around with it. I had one person say he's going to Texas. He told his friends that. I had another person say he's not going to Texas. The family doesn't want that. So it's just been all over the place. And then there's this 800-pound gorilla, so to speak, of Kentucky. He took an unofficial visit to Kentucky in September. Kentucky was supposed to be in to see him last week. They did not come in. And now all of a sudden rumors are they're going to be in this week, possibly even offering as soon as today. And obviously if Kentucky offers, that's a game changer. So there's a lot going on with Jackson Hayes right now. If I had to guess, I'd still guess on Xavier landing his commitment, but this one is not going to be easy. And we're talking about a kid who's never started a game in high school at any level, and we're bringing John Calipari into the mix. So, recruiting.
Yeah, and he's a guy that could really make some sense at Kentucky too, because they are always going to have open scholarships that they're not using, to where they can easily take and wait to develop a guy and try to gain more experience on the back end of their roster for when they have to turn it over year after year with the one and dones. And finally, you know, when he's a junior or senior, he's really ready to step up and be maybe a leader for that team. So I could see Jackson Hayes making sense for Kentucky, even if it wouldn't seem like he's that level of recruit at this time.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. One thing Jackson and his mom have said is they're looking for a spot where he doesn't need to start or anything, but they want him to be able to contribute as a freshman. I don't know how that plays in with Kentucky. It's very interesting. Georgetown was in last week. Illinois was in last week. I think Ohio State and Butler either were in or are planning to come in. I haven't really heard much about upcoming this weekend is Moeller's homecoming. Dan's probably going to be there drinking a beer on campus or some whatever it is that Dan does. And then, you know, so nothing's going to happen this weekend in terms of a visit. Now, he might already be committed by then for all I know. But certainly nothing's happening this weekend in terms of a visit. But if there are more visits, it will be starting on the 29th. So, again, that's interesting. You know, the Bengals have a bye week. I think it's October 14th, like that weekend. So maybe they try to work something out then when his dad can make a visit. So many X factors with Jackson Hayes right now.
And then Luther Muhammad, the third guy who was on campus this past weekend. Here's the thing with Luther Muhammad. For over a year now, everyone's been hearing St. John's is in the best position to land this kid. And so I always go back to this recruitment and say, if St. John's has been in the best position for so long, it's like we always talk about. We talked about it sort of with Paul Scruggs and Xavier last year, where it's like at a certain point, it turns into, well, why hasn't he committed yet? And obviously it worked out for Xavier, and it never really got to that point with Paul Scruggs. But you start to wonder with Luther Muhammad, the longer this thing goes, is St. John's really in the best position if he still hasn't pulled the trigger to go there? The three schools you hear the most are St. John's, Ohio State, and Xavier in this recruitment. West Virginia and Virginia have been trying. They've made some in-home visits with them recently. But it seems like if you had to make an educated guess, it's going to be one of the three, St. John's, Ohio State, and Xavier, right?
Yeah, minor. He was supposed to visit West Virginia this upcoming weekend. I do not believe that trip is going to happen. Now, could, but I don't believe it will. Ohio State is in the home today. I think that's an in-school visit. When I say in-home, I mean just face-to-face meeting. Ohio State's meeting with him today. Assistant coach Mike Schragi, head coach Chris Holtman. Then you have Xavier has no visit scheduled for this week. I'm not sure about St. John's. Obviously, they can get over there in 20 minutes if they need to, depending on traffic. So, that one, it could go down anytime in the next 24 hours to a week and a half, I think. I don't think we're looking at too long for a decision there. It's been interesting. I've always felt Xavier was in third. And now, one person told me this morning, feels they could be first. And this is not a Xavier person telling me that. So I'm looking at it from a few different perspectives. There's a lot going on here. It's a typical New York, New Jersey recruitment where it's got twists and turns and things just don't make logical sense. So we'll see what happens. If you put a gun to my head, I'm still going to guess St. John's. I'm going to probably guess that until he doesn't pick St. John's. But like you said, at some point in time, you have to look and wonder, like, why the heck hasn't he picked them already? Because he's had every opportunity to commit, including last week before the visit when there were rumors he was going to commit, and clearly that did not happen.
Another, there's so many of them, and there have been throughout this summer. These recruitments have been twists and turns. We said this is really an interesting summer for Xavier, and it continues to be that way. So many of these recruitments have just interesting storylines to follow over the next few weeks to possibly months with some of these guys. So you had those back-to-back huge recruiting weekends. The next two weekends, you still have a few more key guys coming in on visits. I think the 22nd, this coming weekend, Shaq Carter is going to be making his trip to Xavier, if that's still on. And really, there's just not a ton of information out there right now about his recruitment.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thing, what's, I don't know if interesting is the right word, but what was a factor is Shaq goes to junior college down in Florida, and his junior college was supposed to have a big pro day, like, you know, big workout, big combine last week. Well, Irma had other ideas. So all the schools that were supposed to get down there to see him, clearly that didn't happen because you're not flying to Florida to get into a hurricane. So, and my understanding is the junior college coach has made it very clear no kid at his school is committing before that combine type thing happens. Now, is that still the case, even though it hasn't happened? I just genuinely do not know. Shaq has already visited Rutgers officially. You've heard Wichita State in the mix. I think LSU in the mix, a couple others in the mix. Supposed to visit Xavier this weekend. I believe Travis Steele's going down to the school to see him this week, maybe Wednesday or something like that. So I think we'll have a better feel after this weekend. I don't know if he's in a position where he can or will commit. But I believe he is still coming to Xavier's campus, and Xavier's always felt that they're in a pretty good position with him. But where it gets complex is when you add in that all of a sudden they're in a really good spot. Well, they're at least in a somewhat good spot with David McCormick and a somewhat good spot with Jermaine Harris. Are you going to push a kid to commit when you got those two guys that, you know, you're feeling better about today than you did a month ago? And that's one of the things, that's one reason coaches make a lot of money is to make those decisions.
Well, and I think the thing with Shaq Carter is no one has a great idea for how good he is. You know,
yeah, that's another thing.
he's been on their radar, but at the end of the day, it's not like they're getting down to see him play a bunch. And he's a JUCO kid, so he's not playing AAU during the summer where they can see him. There just hasn't been a lot of opportunity to gain great intel. Now, it seems like he has a fairly college-ready body to where they hope he could at least contribute immediately when he's eligible. But at the same time, you have nothing really to judge it on because you just never know the exact competition with JUCO, and it's a difficult thing to evaluate at this point. So you're right. It makes it difficult when you think, well, we've got two guys, a guy in Jermaine Harris who looks like he has a chance to be pretty good with more upside, and David McCormick, who has a ton of upside with his frame and his size. So it makes it tough to pass on those two guys if you really feel you have a legit shot of landing one of them. It'll be interesting to see what Xavier does there. The weekend after Shaq Carter visits, Jermaine Harris is supposed to be on campus. Keontae Kennedy, a new guy who we're going to have to talk about here for a second, will be on campus. And Justin Ahrens is also, I believe, expected to make that visit, right?
Yeah, I would be. We'll start off with Ahrens. I would be surprised if he doesn't take all three visits. That kid is pretty adamant that he wants to make all three. Now, again, this is very interesting because if Noah Locke commits to Michigan, let's just say hypothetically he does, that takes out Michigan from Justin Ahrens. So then you got Ohio State and Xavier as the other two. Well, Ohio State and Xavier are recruiting a million of the same guards, including Luther Muhammad. You know, Ohio State's also in there with Eric Hunter. I don't know that Xavier's really in there with Eric Hunter anymore when you cancel his visit and have three other kids visit in the same weekend. That seems like a tough sell to me, but I'm not the coach. So, you know, it's like, what's going to go on there? But Justin Ahrens, I do expect him to visit. I tend to think Xavier's still in third in this recruitment. I don't know if they can beat Ohio State or Michigan, but if Ohio State or Michigan fall out, then Xavier will get them. So we'll see when that prize stands as an early October decision.
What's the latest you've heard with Jermaine Harris?
You know, he visited West Virginia this weekend, and like all visits, it was a good one. Definitely enjoyed himself. Rhode Island's supposed to be in today to see him. I believe Xavier will see him on Wednesday. I believe they're going to see Sadiq and Jermaine Harris on the same day, though I can't guarantee that. He's going to visit Rhode Island this weekend, and my understanding is he's going to visit Xavier next weekend. And right now the kid seems pretty intent to take all of his visits, or at least three of them, maybe four. But West Virginia's the leader in the clubhouse. He's had every opportunity to commit there for the last year. His high school coach played for Larry Harrison for a year at Hartford. So there's a lot of familiarity. The kid's been to West Virginia's campus a bazillion times. Hugs is obviously very familiar with the area. The kid had a great time on the visit. We'll see. There's other factors. You know, Jarrett, this kid, he's originally from New Jersey. He's very close with Jarrett Jack's family, the former Georgia Tech point guard, longtime NBA point guard. Jarrett Jack's mother is accompanying Jermaine and his high school coach on every one of these visits. And she's going to be very influential. I think she has made it clear to all the coaches involved that she wants a lot of visits to happen, and she wants Jermaine to have a lot of information. So, you know, I think this is still a very moving parts situation where a lot of energy is going to be used, and that's just the way it's going to be, and coaches know it going in.
Keontae Kennedy is a newer name. I think the short of it, to give you like a quick synopsis of him, is he's a 6'4 shooter with some athleticism.
Fair? Yeah. At the end of the day, he can shoot the ball. I think he shot around 40% from three. And Keontae Kennedy's probably not this. He's probably about the same level type recruit as Justin Ahrens is. Now, Justin happens to be from an area in central Ohio, for lack of a better term, that a lot more high major programs are right around. So he's going to be recruited at a level that he probably shouldn't be. That's just the reality of the situation that happens in this part of the country. But he's a better shooter. Keontae Kennedy's a better shooter than Justin Ahrens is. Now, for other reasons, people think Justin Ahrens is a better shooter. I'll let you guess what that specific reason is. But Keontae Kennedy, the numbers tell us, is a better shooter, and Xavier needs shooters, and Xavier got involved, and I think Memphis just had a visit with him this weekend. I think he's got one coming up this weekend. I can't remember where, maybe Georgia Tech or something. But that one sounds like it'll be a process, and Xavier will have a fair shake.
Well, and this is another guy, when you talk about shooters and guys coming off the board to other schools, Kennedy's supposed to visit Michigan the first weekend of October, I believe. So, again, they land Noah Locke or someone else, and you know, that might take them off the list and shorten up the process a little bit. So, like you said, moving pieces, there's multiple schools involved, but he's another guy that has, you know, the schools he's recruiting have other shooters in the mix as well. So it could open up a path for Xavier to really get in there and have a legit chance of landing him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a kid I've seen a ton. I just know he can really shoot the ball. And especially if Xavier's in a position where they land, you know, a Sadiq Bey, a Jackson Hayes, a David McCormick, something like that, then you feel really comfortable taking a kid who's more of a specialist. But he's a little bit different than, say, a C.J. Frederick. Even though C.J. is probably an elite shooter, not as athletic as Keontae is, so you feel a little bit more comfortable with Keontae on the defensive end. And I think that's kind of something Xavier, they want to have that type of balance.
After that, I mean, that's a lot of Xavier's top guys, I would say. After that, I mean, I guess Ayo Dosunmu, Talen Horton-Tucker are probably two of the biggest names that we haven't mentioned yet. With Ayo, I think the plan, you know, Xavier just had a good in-home visit with them. I think the plan is to get him on campus in October at some point. Probably, it sounds like, it hasn't been set up yet, but I think the likelihood is he's going to be here for Midnight Madness, or Musketeer Madness, not Midnight Madness anymore. But I, again, it's like Xavier's in a good position. I think Illinois feels they're in a good position. There's some other schools still in the mix. I don't really have a great feel for where this Ayo situation is going to go.
Yeah, you know, just visited USC. Word is, it was a good trip. I don't think he was necessarily blown away. Honestly, I don't see him going that far from home. Wake Forest has done a good job here. They've told him he can come in, he can start, he can play right away. Danny Manning's done a pretty good job. So I think Wake Forest, and that visit's coming up this weekend, they're one to watch. Then, to my knowledge, he has not entirely set up either Xavier or Illinois. I think both of them are going to be October visits, probably both of them mid-October visits. Like you said, probably Musketeer Madness for Xavier. I don't know when Illinois is doing their deal. This is setting up to be a darn near signing day decision. Io's enjoying it. Io's parents really enjoy it. There is no sense of urgency. And he feels everyone should wait on him, which is perfectly fine. It, you know, he's good enough. He can do that. One school to watch, Kansas. You know, they're in with a lot of other point guards, so maybe they don't need to double back on Ayo, but they've started to do that a little bit. So we'll see what happens with Kansas. If they push, are they a factor? They're Kansas, probably. So we'll have to see. But Xavier should get a visit from Ayo, unless, of course, they get Talen Horton-Tucker, and we can discuss that now, Rick.
Yeah, and then, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker, another player from Illinois who just really is taking the process slow. There's no speeding them up. Everyone understands that. The people that are recruiting him understand that. And it's just kind of been a weird process for him where they're very content to let schools eliminate themselves. Like, I had heard all along, Michigan State is where his mom really wanted him to end up. And, you know, now they've taken Aaron Henry, and it seems like unlikely that they would also want Talen Horton-Tucker. Although, I guess the way that the Horton-Tucker family is viewing it is that they're not really eliminating anyone still. Like, I don't even think they're that worried when, like, Iowa State took Zion Griffin. I don't think it necessarily eliminated Iowa State from the process, though the schools might eliminate themselves because they don't need those redundant pieces. So I think we'll see him set up some visits within the next week. And after that, I really don't know what to expect. I think Xavier's in good shape, but you know, Kansas is in the mix still. Iowa State probably still in the mix. Illinois seems to be fading a little bit. They were up at the top for a while, and now it seems like they might be falling out of favor a little bit. I think OSU has been trying to get involved, so I don't know what the latest you're hearing is, but this is another one where I just do not have a good feel for where it will go.
Yeah, one school you're starting to hear a lot more is Michigan. So Michigan just hired recently two assistants from Illinois State that at least recruited Talen for a while early in the process. So they have a built-in relationship. Talen's intrigued with Michigan, but Michigan's also really involved with Ignis Brazdeikis from Canada, and they had him on an official visit, and they're not going to take anybody until Ignis kind of makes it clear if he's going to commit early or wait or do whatever it is that Canadians do during the recruiting process. I think Xavier's got a real good chance to visit. I think Ohio State's got a good chance to visit. Wouldn't surprise me if Iowa State does. Like I said, Michigan's definitely in there. Illinois, I think, is still in there. It's going to be interesting.
Kansas, you know, has a ton of spots, so like you can't count them out with any of these guys, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Kansas is recruiting him more to mess with Illinois than to actually recruit him. So we'll see what happens there. Bill Self used to coach at Illinois. Jarence Howard used to coach at Illinois. Trust me, there's no love lost. So there's that whole factor. Now, one thing that's interesting, and the reason I brought it up in relationship to Ayo, we have a bit of a divorce situation, so to speak. Ayo goes to Morgan Park High School in Chicago. Talen goes to Simeon High School in Chicago. They are high school rivals. Their high school coaches aren't necessarily best of friends. With that said, there's an understanding. Chicago were cool. They were on the same AAU team, the Mac Irvin Fire. Well, that turned into a messy divorce in May. And ever since then, behind the scenes, both kids have made it clear they're not going to the same college. Now, is it possible one school could find a way to get them both? I guess theoretically that's possible. That school ain't going to be Xavier. Xavier, you know, like, if Xavier gets one, they're going to have to make a choice because they ain't getting the other. So if, let's say, Talen committed at the beginning of October, and I'm not predicting that, Iowa isn't visiting. That just accept it right now. Now, Iowa is the higher-rated prospect. Talen's more the prospect of need. So Xavier would not say no to Talen because of Io. Now, I know a lot of people on the board are not going to want to hear that, but that is just the reality of the situation. Now, can Xavier get Talen? That's a whole different ballgame. I don't know. But they're right there in the mix. They're one of the grouping of schools you hear the most.
Brian, anyone else out there that we haven't really mentioned that people should be keeping an eye on?
I guess technically Darius Days, but until he says he's setting a visit to Xavier, I don't think we really need to think that that's a serious option. And that's really all I know right now. You know, I guess if Xavier really swings and misses here on all the guys we've mentioned before, they're going to have to find, you can't go into a year with 8 or 9 scholarship players. No, I don't think they feel the need for 13. I think if they're at 10 or 11 scholarships next year, they're perfectly okay with that. But it's really possible they're going to have to double back on some guys that we just don't have on the radar right now. But for now, I would say that is the top group of guys, and that's what they're looking at.
All right, so if fans were to ask, give us your best idea, a realistic class right now for Xavier, what does that look like? I think I'd be going, obviously, Jake Walter's already in the fold. I think if you were to ask me, Jackson Hayes and Sadiq Bey both end up at Xavier. And then from that point, they add one other guy to the mix during this sort of fall recruiting season, whether that's Talen Horton Tucker or Isaiah Mucius or Keontae Kennedy or someone like that. I'm not sure at this point. There's a lot of moving parts with all those guys, and I think they could go either way, but Xavier's right there at the top for them. But that's my guess, is they probably end up with Jake, Jackson, Sadiq, and then one of those other guys who are like a wing or a guard, Io possibly even later in the process, who knows. But they end up with one more guy. And then if they want to spend one more scholarship on the, I guess you would call it the Larry Austin scholarship, they maybe do that where someone decommits late in the process or they get a transfer or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I do think they want to add another true big. So if Shaq Carter, I could see Shaq Carter come in for sure. I don't think they want to rely on Jake as a freshman, but we'll see. As I said, a lot of moving parts here, a whole lot of different directions this one can go in. So I'll say, to answer your question, I'll say Jackson Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Jake Walter, Shaq Carter, and screw it, I'll say Keontae Kennedy.
All right. Snow, I guess this is always a premium recruiting podcast, but you did get to see the team work out recently. I've also got a little bit of updated information from sources that are in the mix over there at Xavier. So let's talk about a few things from the current team. What stood out to you when you went and watched workouts?
Just physically how impressive this crew is. Xavier's never had a team that looks like this. It kind of reminded me of the old Tennessee teams under Bruce Pearl, where it's just tall, long, big dudes everywhere. And that's what they are. I mean, they are Paul Scruggs, who's 6'3", 210 pounds, is the smallest guy on the roster. You know, Xavier used to start 2 5'11 guards. Now, they were damn good ones, but they started 2 5'11 guards. Now, they don't have anyone shorter than 6'3". And just how talented they are. I mean, it's impressive. This is the best team Chris Mack's ever had. Could it have been better last year if Miles Davis didn't go full moron? And if, for whatever reason, Trayvon and Edmund Sumner were capable of playing together? Yes, but they weren't, and he wasn't. So last year could have been a little bit better on paper coming in, but this is far and away the best team Chris Mack's ever had.
I think right now, when you talk about the newcomers, the freshmen, the most impressive seems to be Najee Marshall from everything I'm hearing.
Yeah, he's a bad, bad boy. Now, clearly, his first position is going to be on the wing, probably the three position, and Xavier has a couple pretty good players at the three position in J.P. McCura and Trayvon Blewett. So that would seem like minutes are going to be limited, but minutes will not be limited for Najee Marshall. He's going to play. He's flat out going to play. He might be the best. Well, Trayvon, oh, sir, he won't be as productive as Trayvon was as a freshman. But he might be, the coaches might be as excited, if not more excited, for Najee Marshall than any freshman they've had.
You know, Paul Scruggs obviously just plays so hard. They're already seeing that, the where even if Najee looks just even a little more intriguing because of his upside and his potential down the road, I think everyone expects Paul to be really productive just because of his physicality, his strength. None of his skill set is the best. Like, you don't look at him and say he's the best ball handler, the best passer, the best shooter, the best decision maker. Although I will say I think they've been somewhat pleased with his shooting because he was never looked at as a good shooter necessarily coming in, and he's done okay since he's been here in workouts. But I think everyone expects him to be productive just because of the way he plays and his physical makeup.
Yeah, I mean, they've been impressed with his shooting. I don't know if impressed is the right word, but as you said, pleasantly surprised. But the number one thing Paul's going to do is he's going to play so hard and just be a pit bull. You know, I was talking to Byron Larkin, and Byron's like, yeah, the one thing I'm worried about is, you know, when they play a real small, quick guard, and I just pointed to Paul and I said, don't worry about it with that dude. Like, that pit bull right there ain't, that's not a problem.
I'll just bully. He's guarding.
Yeah, he's guarding, he's moving, he's not letting some dude just mess with him. So, yeah, I mean, Paul's going to play. He just plays too hard and does too many things well not to play a lot.
And then the other two freshmen with Elias and Jared, I think they're a little bit probably behind those guys in terms of what you would think they'd play minutes-wise, but that's mainly because of the team that's in front of them and not necessarily where they're at as freshmen. They're a step below probably Paul and Najee in terms of their readiness, but again, this team is so loaded with experienced guys on the wing that that's going to be more of a factor of them not playing probably than their production. And, you know, Jared's shooting the ball really well, which was expected of him. He's doing some other things pretty well in offense. I think they just understand he's not a good defender in any way, shape, or form. And especially as a freshman at this point, he's really bad. And then Elias, I think he's a little more quicker twitch and better on D than they expected him to be. And then he's still a little bit of a work in progress on offense.
Yeah, I think everything's moving a little quick for Elias right now, which would be expected because, you know, it's like, hey, go out and guard Trayvon Blewett in practice today. You know, that's a tough thing for a freshman to do. I mean, think about it. Elias Harden, he's played on some really good high school teams, really good AAU teams, played against really good players. Every day he's playing against two of the eight best players in the Big East, in JP and Trayvon, and it's his job not to look like a fool. Xavier's going to have to play some amateur psychologist with him all year long because he's going to be getting his butt kicked. But you still have to find a way to keep him positive. So that's going to be one of the interesting things. There's literally 0% chance that kid's going to look good in practice this year. It's just not possible. But he's talented. He's really long. He's getting more athletic. Like Rick and I speculated, as he continues to get stronger, he's going to continue to get more athletic. I think he's a better passer than they thought, but he's not shooting the ball as well as they thought. And that's one thing that's going to have to come around for him to get as many minutes as he'd like to get.
Moving on from the newcomers, I think the other thing that's just stood out from what I've been hearing is that this may be another three big man rotation where they're kind of playing the hot hand, going with the guys doing best as they did last year with Gaston and Jones and O'Mara. But I think they're more excited about this year's group of the three. I think they feel like all three are good and could give them really good minutes. Tyreek looks exactly like they were hoping Tyreek would look, you know, a year into the program and a little more experience and a little more knowledge and understanding what's coming before, you know, he just gets the system a whole lot better at this point. And plus, physically, he's a monster. Sean is playing with a lot of confidence. He obviously played really well at the end of last year, and he's continued that into workouts so far. I mean, it's just workouts. We're not even in a practice yet, but they're pleased with where he's at. He's in really good shape for his body type. And then Karim Cantor has been, he's probably the most skilled out of the three on offense. Now, he's not nearly as tough, and he's not as good on defense as the other two, but he's different from the other two. He gives you something completely different that they don't give you. So I think they're surprised at how well this big man rotation looks to be shaping up.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see, I don't know whether they'll do it in a 1-3-1 or a 2-3 or how they plan on doing it, but I think there's times where two bigs are going to end up on the court together. Now, how long those stretches last, I don't know. But that's how they feel about their bigs, is I think they like two of them on the court for at least some stretches, because they feel, you know, Karam gives you some three-point shooting, gives you some good skill off the dribble. You know, Sean's the best low post scorer. Tyreek's the best rebounder. So, you know, they all just provide a little bit of something and give you a lot. Karam, especially offensively, though defensively he's not good. But offensively, you know, he brings a new dimension, one that they didn't even have last year.
Well, and Karam's a guy, you know, he's making a big jump up, obviously, in his conference. Now, it's not quite, you know, the MEAC to the Big East. It's a little bit better in the horizon.
I mean, they play Northern Kentucky. Does it get higher level than that?
Exactly. My point. Thank you. But he also has a brother who's in the NBA. And, you know, if you've been on social media recently, you've seen some of these little video clips of some of these NBA pickup games going on during the summer. He's been out there playing in some of these with his brother, Enes Kanter. So, you know, Russell Westbrook is in some of these pickup games and stuff. Now, does that equate to an organized basketball game? No, but you would hope maybe some of the speed of that and just some of the confidence from playing against guys who are making millions of dollars in the league would help him out a little bit in making the transition. Now, what that equates to, I have no idea. But it's just something that's a little bit different with him than some of these other guys Xavier has gotten on transfer in the past that are making that big jump up.
The other thing is, he doesn't have to sit out a year. And usually when it's a sit-out year, it takes a little while to get your sea legs back. So I don't think there'll be that kind of process that you see him go through.
Yep. Other than that, I mean, like you said, I think just the physicality, you mentioned how this team looks and how, you know, Paul Scruggs is their smallest guy at 6'3 and 210. That's not by accident. You know, that has been the Big East effect on Xavier. And when they got into it early, I think they kind of saw what Seton Hall's guards and St. John's guards, some of these other teams that had these big athletic guards, did to them and how difficult that made things at times. And they've recruited to be more like that. And I think it's gone pretty darn well when you look at the way their backcourt's shaping up for the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be big. They're going to be talented. So now I think they do need to add another body. I don't know that they think they need to add another body, but there's a lot to work with there.
All right, Brian, anything else to add to this premium recruiting podcast before we wrap things up?
Nothing. I just say the dominoes are going to start falling here soon, and I don't know which direction they're all going to go in, but it's going to be a lot of fun to follow.
All right. We appreciate you guys listening. For the legend, Brian Snow, I'm Rick.